And here one sees the idea that France should have a constitution, a written document, not simply the traditional assembly of states. Louis XVI, seeing that he had very few options at this juncture, gave in, and all three of the estates finally met together to draft a new constitution. This was no longer tax reform. This was a constitution for the French state. But as things would do over and over again over the next few years, events took a violent turn and an unpredictable turn in July. On July 14th, a Parisian mob of some 800 to 900 people, fearing a royal coup d'etat, stormed the ancient prison of the Bastille. Louis had ordered troops into Paris, and there was a fear that this was the first step in some sort of counter-revolution, that the king was now marshaling troops loyal to the crown, and that now the early steps of the revolution were going to be undone. The storming of the Bastille was an event of enormous symbolic importance. The Bastille had 10-foot-thick walls, 90-foot-high towers. It was seen by virtually everybody in Paris and around and in France as a symbol of autocracy, of despotism, of royal justice. And so the storming of this imposing structure was of really dramatic significance. The crowd bursting into the prison discovered a somewhat disappointing scene. There were only a handful of prisoners, less than a dozen. There was sporadic resistance on the part of the dispirited guard that didn't know what quite to do with this situation. But the storming of the Bastille had been an act of national rebellion. It quickly came to symbolize an attack on the part of the people against corrupt authority. Almost instantly, a National Guard was established in Paris to guard against royal reaction. Weapons were distributed. The interesting thing about the National Guard, however, after the storming of the Bastille, was that the National Guard was not only there and not only constructed in order to guard against a return of royal power. Having seen the mob, it was also to protect middle-class property. That is, to keep, on the one hand, the reactionary forces at bay, and also to maintain property against this Parisian mob. That, too, would be a theme for much of the rest of the revolution. Royal troops were ordered to leave Versailles, and Louis XVI appeared in Paris, humiliated, wearing the tricolor, the white of the Bourbons with the red and blue of the city of Paris. This had now become the new colors that would become the revolutionary colors, the colors of the new France. A great deal of hope was placed on the National Assembly. The Parisian middle strata feared rising costs and set great hopes that the National Assembly would be able to do something about the economic situation in France. Artisans, shopkeepers, journeymen, wage earners of all sorts were certainly interested in fundamental economic reform. And most significantly, there was the question of the countryside. What about the peasants? How would they respond? And in July, just as the urban mob had stormed the Bastille in July, the peasants surged into the chateau and estates of aristocracy. The countryside erupted in violence during June and early July. Chateaux were burned and looted. Records were destroyed. The peasants had gone on a rampage. They charged into the chateau looking precisely for the records that the aristocrats had been discovering in this feudal reaction. Great fear spread among the nobles and also among the wealthy members of the Third Estate. this eruption of violence in the countryside, the rampage of the peasants in June and July of 1789, was referred to as the Great Fear, a fear that swept, as I said, not only the countryside, but the delegates meeting at Versailles as well.